So acceptance of the universe, adhyaropaha implies jagat being asad vyatiriktam. Being asad vyatiriktam means to say that jagat is not absolutely non-existent. Jagat is not unreal. So apavadaha, the negation of the universe later on, implies the jagat being absolutely, jagat being not the absolutely real. Sadvyatiriktam. So adhyaropaha implies jagat being asadvyatiriktam. Apavadaha implies jagat being sadvyatiriktam. Which means jagat is neither real, absolutely, jagat is neither absolutely unreal, non-existent, nor is jagat absolutely real. Jagat is neither real nor unreal, then what is this jagat? This jagat is, how is this jagat? This jagat is as though real. So these two prakriyas finally help us understand the fact that jagat is neither absolutely real nor is it absolutely unreal. Therefore, jagat is mithya. If jagat is mithya, and we also understand that mithya, that anything which is as though real cannot, does not have, cannot exist by itself independently. Mithya does not have independent existence of its own. Therefore, it must have an adharam, adhishtanam. Next question comes, if jagat is neither sat nor asad, if it is only mithya, so there must be an adhishtanam in which the jagat enjoys its existence. So mithya jagataha satya adharam satya adhishtanam kim? If this is the question, then is there anything which does not come within the scope of adhyaropa apavadaha? That which does not come within the scope of adhyaropa apavadaha alone can be the adharam adhishtanam for the jagat. Why, jagat means it includes the whole. Therefore, the only one thing which does not come within the scope of adhyaropa apavada is I, the experiencer of the jagat. Therefore, that I, the experiencer of the universe, am the adhishtanam, jagataha adhishtanam. And that adhishtanam, jagat adhishtanam is satyam brahma. So when we say, if I also was included in this adhyaropa apavada scope, then I also would have got negated. But I is what? Non-negatable. Abadhitam satyam. Trikal abadhitam satyam. Therefore, here, finally, we need to arrive at this understanding. Mithya jagataha adhishtanam adharam. Aham is the adharaha. Aham is adhishtanam. Satyam. Or I, the experiencer, am the satyam. The jagat is mithya means finally we have to say, I, the satyam, am the whole, the jagat. I am the whole. This is the final conclusion we need to arrive at through the study of the Upanishad. Therefore, this is the fact to be revealed by the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad throughout this adhyaropa apavada method. So with this, understanding, we need to enter into, see the contents of the first chapter. So Adhyaropaha is presented in the whole of the first chapter. So the superimposition, Adhyaropaha meaning superimposition, implying the temporary acceptance of the whole universe, is discussed here in the first chapter. So if the question rises here, why is it said that the world is temporarily accepted? Why there is temporary acceptance of the world? The world is accepted temporarily because Upanishad does not want to contradict our perception initially. Accepting our perception that in our understanding Jagat is very real. So in Upanishad also temporarily accepts the existence of the universe. But later on Upanishad is definitely going to dismiss the universe. Therefore it is only we say the Upanishad accepts the existence of the universe temporarily. So for this purpose, using this Adhyaropa Apavada method, in order to help us arrive at the Brahman, the substratum of the universe, as one's own Swarupam, thereby to arrive at the conclusion of Aham Brahma Asmi, Upanishad here divides the teaching and persons here into four factors, four categories. So this Adhyaropaha, the superimposition implying the temporary acceptance of the universe, being subject matter of this whole first chapter, Upanishad beautifully shows how to understand what this entire objective universe is. It first presents the means to accomplish, the means of accomplishment of the ends. The means of accomplishment of the ends forms the number one factor. The means of accomplishment of the ends called sadhanani. We can say sadhanani means we can say all forms of activities. Mundane activities, religious activities, secular and sacred activities. Actions karmani, sarva vidha karmani. Then upasana, performance of rituals also. Then upasanani, the various meditative techniques, meditations, upasanani. So we can say the ritualistic and karma and upasana kanda portions of the Upanishad, all of them come under the category of sadhanani, the means of accomplishment of the ends. Then, second factor we need to understand here is sadhyani, or you can say the instruments of the sadhyani, the ends to be accomplished. First the means of accomplishment, then the ends to be accomplished are called sadhyani. So what are the ends to be accomplished? All forms of pleasures, which includes heavenly pleasures, mundane pleasures, even other lokas, higher lokas. So, artha, kama, dharma, Artha kamas, within artha, health and progeny also is included. So health, progeny, other artha kamas, the pleasures, mundane and heavenly, higher lokas, all these come under the category of sadhyani or karma phalani, the ends to be accomplished. So sadhanani and sadhyani together constitute vyakta vyakrita prapanchaha. Means and the ends in terms of rituals, meditations, actions and their corresponding results in terms of the pleasures and lokas, artha kamas, health and progeny, etc. All of them together constitute vyakta prapanchaha, the manifest universe. Then the third factor discussed here is the avyakta avyakrita prapanchaha. So sadhanani sadhyani constitute vyakta vyakrita prapanchaha. Now we also have to talk about avyakrita avyakta prapanchaha, the unmanifest, undifferentiated objects, forms, names and functions which constitute the universe. Unmanifest also forms the part of this discussion here, the third factor. And the fourth, we can say, the next factor is kartrutvam, the doership. The notion that I am the doer. And this is also, actually, this also comes under the superimposition. Temporary acceptance, kartrutvam. Then bhoktrutvam. Bhoktrutvam, enjoyership. Now, all these together, these five factors together, we can say, sadhanani, I mean all forms of means of the accomplishment of ends. Then sadhyani, the ends to be accomplished, which form the manifest universe. Then unmanifest, undifferentiated universe. Then the doership and enjoyership. All these five factors together constitute the universe, prapanchaha, jagat. Jagat ittukte kim? Jagat ittukte kim? Prapanchaha ittukte kaha? With reference to first chapter of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, you can easily say, jagat ittukte kevalam sadhanani sadhyani avyakta avyakrita prapanchaha, then kartrutvam bhoktrutvam cha. These five factors constitute the prapanchaha, universe, which is now accepted temporarily as something existent. Which means this jagat which you are experiencing now in terms of the means of accomplishment, the ends to be accomplished, or of unmanifest universe, or doership or enjoyership, the notions in terms of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. All this actually constitute the universe, accepted temporarily. And the sixth factor is, all these five factors which constitute the jagat can be reduced to three words, nama, rupa, karma. So Shankara beautifully says, nama, rupa, karmatmakam jagat. Nama, rupa, karmatmakam jagat. What is jagat? Jagat is nothing but forms, non-substantial forms indicated by the corresponding words serving the corresponding purposes, or not corresponding functions, associated with their corresponding functions. Nama, Rupa Karmatmakam Jagat. This is what is Jagat. And these three are what now? What are the sadhanani? What are the sadhyani? What is avyakta prapanchaha? Avyakta avyakrita prapanchaha? What is kartrutvam? What is bhaktrutvam? All these five factors put together constitute the jagat which is superimposed here. The superimposition of which is presented here, the first chapter. And this jagat further reducible to names, forms and functions. So with this understanding, now we need to see, this is what is, this is the universe, and this is what is said to be, what now? See, we accepted here now in the first chapter as though the, as something really existent. Okay, now, the first chapter consists of six sections, and I mentioned in my previous class also, section in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is known by the term Brahmanam. Therefore, we can say Brihadaranyake Upanishadi Prathame Adhyaye Shad Brahmanani Bhavanti. There are six Brahmanams, six sections. So, the first three Brahmanani, the first three sections discuss only sadhanani. Sadhanani in terms of meditations, upasanani. Sadhanani in terms of upasanani form the subject matter of the first three Brahmanams of the first chapter, which we saw in the class actually. But I'm not going to do everything, but anyway, at least you remember now. So the Prathamam Brahmanam, the first Brahmanam is called Ashwamedha Brahmanam. Why? Because that Ashwamedha in the first chapter, first Brahmanam, first section, Virad Upasanam is discussed, presented. And here, the Alambanam for this Virad Upasanam is hearts, Ashwaha, used in the Ashwamedha Yaga. Therefore, Ashwe, Ashwamedha Yaga Sambandhi Ashwe, Virad Upasanam. Ashwe Virad Upasanam is subject matter of the first chapter, first Brahmanam. Therefore, the Brahmanam is known after this name of the horse as Ashwamedha Brahmanam. So this is Virat Upasanam and Ashwaha is the Alambanam. Virat is the Upasa Devata, Ishwara, Virat Ishwara. Then, which is also Sadhanam. Now this, Vitiye Brahmane, the second Brahmanam, known as Agni Brahmanam. Here also same Virad Upasanam is discussed, but here the Alambanam is the Agnihi used in the Ashwamedha Yaga. Therefore, the second section is known as Agni Brahmanam. So in these two, first two sections, Brahmanams, Ashwamedha Brahmanam and Agni Brahmanam, two Virad Upasanams are discussed, and the Alambanam, the first is Ashwaha, horse, and Alambanam, the support of Upasanam, the second is Agnihi. Then, the third section, the third Brahmanam, is called Udgita Brahmanam, because in this third section, the Upasanam is upon, the Upasanam of Hiranyagarbha is discussed. So Hiranya Garbha Upasanam. Two Virad Upasanams in the first two. One Hiranya Garbha Upasanam in the third section is discussed. But Hiranya Garbha is otherwise called Udgitaha, one who is highly glorified. Udgitaha is name of Hiranya Garbha. Therefore, the Hiranya Garbha happens to be the Upasa Devata in the third Brahmanam. The Brahmanam is known after Hiranya Garbha as Udgita Brahmanam. But Hiranya Garbha is meditated upon one's own prana. So pranaha is the alambanam. Prane Hiranya Garbha Upasanam. Prane Hiranya Garbha Darshanam is the subject matter presented in this third section. So all these three are meditations upon Virat and Hiranya Garbha. Before they all come, they form the sadhanani, the means of accomplishment. Then Hiranya Garbha is glorified as an Upasya Devata, is said to be endowed with great the qualities and great virtues. Therefore, Hiranya Garbha is known as Udgitaha. Now, it is enough if we know this much regarding the first three sections. Now, the fourth section is actually relatively a big section, bigger section. It has an important of the whole of the first chapter. For all the sections, fourth section is an important section. It is called Purusha Vidha Brahmanam. Purusha Vidha Brahmanam is the fourth section. The first here is Purusha Vidha Brahmanam. The phalam, the benefit of practicing this meditation is discussed. What comes under this sadhya, sadhyam. So the person who practices the meditation, whether Virat person practices the Virat Upasanam or Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, as a result of which ultimately one can have the Hiranyagarbha Padavi. One can have the position of Hiranya Garbha. And if Hiranya Garbha, the one who has to be attained, whose position has to be attained, is highly glorified. So Hiranya Garbha is also known as Prajapatihi. So one can have the status of being the creator. We go into Brahma Loka. This phalam also is discussed in the fourth section. Then the same fourth section, Purusha Vidha Brahmanam, Avyakrita Prapanchaha, how this universe was unmanifest and undifferentiated before it originated. He also discussed here. There were Avyakrita, Avyakta, Avyakrita Prapanchaha also is discussed in this same section. So, unmanifest, undifferentiated, unmanifest universe also here we have to make a note is comes under this Adhyaropa scope. Then, after that, the Srishti also is discussed. Same fourth section. So, Upasana Phalam is discussed. Avyakta, unmanifest universe is discussed. Then creation of this universe also is discussed in the same fourth section. That is, the Srishtihi creation also is discussed in the very same section. When the Srishti is discussed, a creation of fourfold groups of beings. Fourfold means the four levels of people. Chaturvarnyam of the Devalok, Devas, Chaturvarnyam of the Manushyas, creation of the people of four classifications. Chaturvarnyam of the Devas, Chaturvarnyam of the human beings, all these are discussed in this fourth section. Then, when in this context of creation alone, when the creation of the people of four groups is discussed, the Manushya Lokaha discussed in that context, the Kartrutvam, the notion of being one being the doer. I am the doer, I am the notion, Kartrutvam. And also the Kartrutvam is discussed in the very fourth section. And here an important thing we have to remember is that a human being who enjoys this Kartrutvam, who has the status of being the knower, the doer, who entertains the notion that I am the doer, this human being is given a different special name called Lokaha. Manushyasya Lokaha iti nama. Why a human being is given the name Lokaha? Generally, the word Lokaha means the world of objects, the perceptible objects is called Lokaha. But why a human being is called Lokaha? Because a human being, as a performer of actions, as a he becomes a contributor because he is available for, when he is enjoying the world, he is available for the enjoyment of the world as a doer. How is he available for enjoyment of the world as a doer, as a contributor? Because he performs rituals, thereby actually he contributes for the well-being also of other living beings, the birds, the animals, the insects, ants, etc., and also the trees, and he pitrus, and also devas. Therefore, he is available for their enjoyment as well. Therefore, human being is called Lokaha. We have to understand it a little differently, that's all. Then, so this Kartrutvam also comes under what? The Adhyaropaha. We should not forget the word Adhyaropaha here. The whole thing is only, I'm discussing only Adhyaropaha. Adhyaropaha means superimposition, and the superimposition implies temporary acceptance. Therefore, which means even Kartrutvam is accepted temporarily. Doership is accepted temporarily. All these enjoyment of pleasures, etc., is accepted temporarily. All the means to accomplish the ends are accepted temporarily. The ends accomplished and enjoyed, which seem to be so real, also accepted temporarily as part of the Jagat Prapanchaha. Okay. Now, the fifth section of the first chapter is called Saptanna Brahmanam. I'm not going to the details. I can tell you one thing. Saptanna, how the individual human being, as a contributor, as a performer of actions, as the one endowed with the doership, performing actions, as a contributor, also becomes, has the notion that I am the enjoyer, enjoys the fruits of actions, thereby he is called Bhokta. So Bhoktrutvam. How a jiva, human being has the, jiva has the Bhoktrutvam. That is discussed in this fifth section. So as a contributor, as the one serving the world, one also enjoys as a consumer. So you see the Bhoktrutvam also discussed in the fifth section. Then, The sixth section is called, sixth section is called Ukta Brahmanam. Ukta. Sixth section is called Ukta Brahmanam. Here, in Ukta Brahmanam, how this world, this Jagat, which discussed in this above the first five sections, in terms of sadhanani, sadhyani, avyakta, avyakrita, prapanchaha, kartrutvam, and bhoktrutvam. The five factors constitute the universe. Prapanchaha ityukte ete pancha vishyanam samuhaha eva prapanchaha jagat. Sadhanani, sadhyani, avyakta prapanchaha, then can include this, avyakta includes srishtihi, afterwards what we can say, srishti also is there, then kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. So all these five factors constitute this jagat, and this universe being reducible to just forms, names and functions in terms of nama rupa karmatmakam jagat, that is discussed in the sixth Brahmanam. Only in the sixth Brahmanam called Ukta Brahmanam, the universe being reducible to forms, names and functions is discussed. This is sixth section. Therefore, and this universe constituted of these five factors as means, ends, unmanifest, doership and enjoyership, further reducible to forms, names and functions, can be reduced to one body. Just one form. Only then that is why beautifully in Purusha Suktam, Purusha ye vedagam sarvam, yad bhotam, that Purusha, the whole cosmos can be reduced to one macrocosmic form, one body. So here, if our one body, a small individual body can be handled, means we can handle, if we know how to handle, then definitely the whole universe can be handled. It's formed one whole body. Now, so here, there's six important, in this Brahmanams, these, apart from these things, something important we need to understand here is the Vidya Sutram. Vidya Sutram. What is that something which we have definitely understand from the first chapter of this Brihadaranyakopanishad? Vidya Sutram. This Vidya Sutram is an important discussion, important thing which is discussed in this fourth section. So Vidya Sutram means knowledge revealed in a nutshell. Knowledge revealed in a nutshell is Vidya Sutram. And what is that Vidya Sutram? Actually, not only Vidya Sutram, there's also Avidya Sutram. Avidya Sutram and Vidya Sutram means that there is a statement which reveals the knowledge in a nutshell. There's also another statement which reveals ignorance in a nutshell. Those two are also mentioned here. Atma ityeva upasita. I really prefer that all of you write down this statement. So what is the Vidya Sutram mentioned in the first chapter, the fourth section? So the first fourth section called Purusha Vidha Brahmanam. This is a seventh mantra, important, it's relatively a big mantra. We get this Vidya Sutram. You can search for the mantra if you want. ஆத்மா இத்யேவ உபாசீத. ஆத்மா இத்யேவ உபாசீத. சோ ஆத்மா இத்யேவ உபாசீத மீன்ஸ் மே ஒன் ட்ரை அரைவ் அட் ரியாலிட்டி ஆஸ் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் ஸ்வரூபம். தட் மீன்ஸ் தி அப்சல்யூட் ரியாலிட்டி, தி அல்டிமேட் ட்ரூத் இம்ப்ளைட் பை த டெர்ம் பிரம்மன் ஹாஸ் டு பி அரைவ்ட் அட் இன் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் மைண்ட் ஆஸ் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் ஸ்வரூபம் as the very self, not as an object at all is implied. So atma ityeva upasita, and this vidya sutram is going to be explained in the entire Upanishad. Then there is also avidya sutram. I'll say the sentence, please remember this. So atma ityeva upasita, afterwards now avidya sutram is anyaha asau. I am breaking the sandhi. Anyosau anyoham iti, there's a sentence there. Anyosau, you can break it as anyaha asau, anyaha aham iti yaha upaste saha na veda. It's enough if you remember all these mantras from the Upanishad, then the first chapter. So these all come in the fourth section. So anyaha asau, anyaha aham iti yaha upaste saha na veda. I'm repeating it. Anyaha asau, anyaha aham iti yaha upaste saha na veda. What does it mean? This means he who worships, yaha upaste. Yaha upaste means he who worships the Lord. He who worships the Lord, Bhagavan. Anyaha asau iti, as different from one's own self. He who worships the Lord as different from one's own self, seeing oneself being different from the Lord, anyaha aham iti. Seeing oneself, so isolating one's own self as different from the Lord, seeing the Lord as different from one's own self, he who worships does not know. Saha na veda means he is ignorant. So he who worships the Lord as isolating oneself from the Lord, seeing the Lord as different from one's own self, one who worships the Lord is an ignorant person. Anyaha asau, anyaha aham, iti yaha upaste saha na veda. அந்யோசௌ அந்யோகமித்திய உபாஸ்தே சக நவேத. இஸ் எ சென்டென்ஸ் அண்ட் இஸ் கால்ட் அவித்யா சூத்திரம். ஹூ இஸ் இக்னரண்ட்? ஒன் ஹூ ஐசோலேட்ஸ் ஹிம்செல்ஃப், ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் செல்ஃப் ஃப்ரம் த லார்ட் த ஹோல், அண்ட் சீஸ் த லார்ட் அஸ் த ஒன் டிஃபரண்ட் ஃப்ரம் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் செல்ஃப் இஸ் இக்னரண்ட். இஸ் தி அவித்யா சூத்திரம். And this Avidya Sutram is explained here itself. So Vidya Sutram is going to be explained in the whole of Upanishad. But Avidya Sutram is explained here itself. How? In the form of Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam. Discussed in the fifth and sixth Brahmanas. The fourth, no? The Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam. For a person to isolate oneself from the whole universe and to think that I am different from the Lord and Lord is different from me, definitely what? He must have the Kartrutvam, the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. Therefore, this Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, the notions, entertainment of notions in terms of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. itself is because it's an expression of avidya only, ignorance only. Therefore, this is avidya sutram is explained in the form of doership and enjoyership in the fifth and the other Brahmanas. Now, these are all important things we have to remember. So apart from this, what we have seen already now, how first three Brahmanas discuss the sadhanani, and the fourth Brahmanam discusses the phalam and avyakta prapancha, kartutvam, etc. The fifth Brahmanam discusses the bhoktrutvam, and the sixth Brahmanam reduces the universe into three words as yama, rupa, karma. This is subject matter of the first chapter. But important thing we have to remember, discussions which are presented here is about this Vidya Sutram and Avidya Sutram. This come in the fourth section. Now, suppose we ask, Shankara Bhagavatpada's Bhashyam, the commentary, present important discussions, elaborate discussions. Suppose let us understand what are those important discussions Shankara Bhagavatpada presents. That let us understand. If we understand these important discussions Shankara Bhagavatpada presents, are actually the big supportive pillars for the Advaita Darshanam, for establishing the Advaitam. Shankara presents these seven important discussions. First is the Bhashyam, the commentary, which presents the enquiry into the relationship between Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. So the Bhashyam, the enquiry into the sambandha between Karma Kandaha and Jnana Kandaha is called Sambandha Bhashyam. Sambandha Bhashyam is the first important discussion. Yeah, Sambandha Bhashyam. The second one is the discussion presented using the clay pot as the main thing. The enquiry into the cause-effect theory or creation theory. Karya-karana-vadaha or srishti-vadaha. So, the Bhashyam portion wherein Shankar Bhagavatpada presents the enquiry into the cause-effect theory or karya-karana-vadaha or analysis of creation called srishti-vadaha using the pot, ghataha, which is popularly known as ghata-bhashyam. Here, the Upanishad presents a contradictory statement saying, nothing was there before the creation. It's a very contradictory statement. Nothing was there before the creation, the Upanishad stated. And it would be very supportive of the Buddhists. Therefore, Shankara Bhagavatpada presents the enquiry here, and finally he establishes nothing was there means nothing does not mean nothing. Nothing implies something being unmanifest. Something unmanifest alone is taken to be nothing. There is no such a thing called nothing at all. If at all, whenever we use the expression nothing, nothing implies something being unmanifest. Something unmanifest is equivalent to nothing. If he establishes that. So, he refutes in the context Bauddhaha and Tarkikaha. So, Buddhists and logicians were refuted by Shankara. He presented this inquiry, and this occurs as the Bhashyam for the first mantra of the second Brahmanam. First mantra of the second Brahmanam. So Ghata Bhashyam. So what? Now the next important discussion is the inquiry into the Karya Karnavada. Then the third discussion is on the Vedic statements. The third discussion presented by Shankara Bhagavatpada and his Bhashyam is called Pramana Bhashyam. The Pramana Bhashyam. Here it is made very clear the way which the Vedic statements, of all the Vedic statements, which statement should be taken as the serious means of knowledge, pramanam, which are the pramana vakyani and which statements are the arthavada vakyani, which statements should be accepted, taken as the meaningful, serious pramana, means of knowledge, statements which serve as means of knowledge, or which statements should be simply taken as figurative or arthavada statements. I mean, how to distinguish the facts from the fiction? So actually the main discussion is for being able to distinguish the facts from the fiction. The Bhashyam portion discussing how to distinguish the facts from the fiction is called Pramana Bhashyam. We can see this. The third Brahmanam, example I give you, the third Brahmanam called Udgita Brahmanam, there are statements which reveal the glory of Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha happens to be the Upasya Devata, and Hiranyagarbha's glories are presented here. So, and then the many names are also given. Hiranyagarbha is known as Vishuddha, Duhu, then Mrityu Atitaha, Duhu, Dur Namakaha, Mrityu Atitaha, Vishuddha. These are all the different titles given to Hiranyagarbha. So, how to really see which are the arthavadas vakyani? So these, such the glories, the statements revealing the glories or the different names should be understood as mere figurative, fictitious statements. So this is also, this is the third important thing. Then the fourth important thing the discussion is on, the entry of Brahman into the world after its creation. So the Bhashyam portion wherein Shankara Bhagavad Pada discusses this, entry of Brahman into the universe is called Pravesha Bhashyam. So Pravesha Bhashyam is discussed in the fourth section. So Brahman created this entire universe and then entered into this universe. So what does the word entry mean? What is the meaning of the word entry, praveshaha? Pravesha shabdasya kortaha, kaha arthaha. So here the entry is not real entry. Entry is as though. So as though means what? When some other occasion I told, just as the reflection of sun enters into the water, you know, water, so also Brahman, you know, enters into the mind. We saw that in some other context, but here we understand Brahman being available for recognition, obtaining as the very witness in every mind. So Brahman being available for recognition, obtaining as the very witness of the states of mind of an individual being is said to be what? Entry. This is the entry. So in the fourth section, we have to remember this, Pravesha Bhashyam also is there. Then later on, the same, in the fourth section, we have this four main important discussions. One is a discussion on entry of Brahman called Pravesha Bhashyam. Then there is a Vidya Sutra Bhashyam. So the discussion on this Vidya Sutra, that is Atmetya Upasita, which I mentioned previously. Atma iti eva upasita. So absolute reality implied by the term Brahman should be recognized only as I, not as anything else. Therefore, this, there's a inquiry, discussion on this Vidya Sutram, Vidya Sutra Bhashyam. Why not as an object? Why only as one's own swarupam? The next one, the another discussion which we come across in the very fourth section itself is Mahavakya Bhashyam. So in the fourth section, seventh mantra, we have this Vidya Sutram, Pravesha Bhashyam also. Then we have this Mahavakya Bhashyam, the tenth mantra. Aham Brahma Asmi. Aham Brahma Asmi. So here, Jiva Brahma Swarupa Aikyam is discussed and established. How the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman is actually nothing but the chit available as one's own swarupam in the mind. So Jiva Brahma Swarupa Aikyam is discussed and established. The oneness of the truth of the individual and the total is established. And other views, all other contentions are refuted. So Mahavakya Bhashyam, the 10th mantra of the 4th section. Then in the same mantra, now we have to remember, in this fourth section, there is the important four discussions come. One is Pravesha Bhashyam, Vidya Sutra Bhashyam, Mahavakya Bhashyam. One more thing is, see, there will be any number of obstacles possible until we attain the jnanam. Definitely, pratibandhas are possible only until we attain the jnanam. But after the attainment of jnanam, in attaining moksha, there will not be pratibandhas at all. Nothing in the world can cause any obstruction, any obstacle in taking ownership of the moksha which is already there. So, jnana prapto pratibandhaha syu. Jnana prapti anantaram moksha svikarane pratibandhaha na bhaveyureva. So, it is discussed in the fourth, fourth section. So, we can say, in attaining jnanam, one's own family, one's own relatives, one's own kith and kin, the papa prarabdha, or devas, the celestials, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidaivika, all those problems are possible in attaining the jnanam. But after the attainment of jnanam, in attaining moksha, no devas or parabdha karma phalam, our family, our relatives, or even the planetary positions in our horoscope, nothing can stop one from taking ownership of moksha. And that is, there's a beautiful mantra. You can note down this mantra. You can write it down and keep. That is, tasya ha deva api, tasya ha deva api na abhutya ishate. Tasya ha deva api na abhutya ishate. Tasya ha deva api na abhutya ishate. Jnanameva mokshaha, jnanad eva mokshaha. But what does it mean here? Tasyaha deva api na abhutya ishate means, even the gods, even the so-called devatas, the natural phenomena, nothing in the world can prevent him from enjoying the moksha which he already has. Abhutya na ishate. Nothing in the world can obstruct him from, stop him from enjoying the moksha. So, totally now, these are the important seven discussions which serve as big supportive pillars in establishing the Advaita Darshanam, Advaita Vision. The Advaitam is Satyam. So, Sambandha Bhashyam, Ghata Bhashyam, Pramana Bhashyam, Pravesha Bhashyam, Vidyasutra Bhashyam, Mahavakya Bhashyam, six I said. The seventh one I simply said that jnanam, no pratibandhas after the jnanam in attaining moksha. There's a discussion. There's about seven discussions. So, all the last four discussions mainly come as part of the fourth section mantras. That's why in the whole of this first chapter, of the six sections, the fourth section is an important section, and there seventh and tenth mantras are already very important mantras. We have these four discussions. Then in the fifth and sixth sections, Brahmanams, not many discussions there. Now apart from this, if we ask, suppose what are the important mantras we need to remember from the first chapter? The first chapter, then the Prathama Brahmanam, in first Brahmanam, the second Brahmanam, first two sections, we don't have any important mantras, you know very well, because Ashwamedha Brahmanam and Ashwamedha Brahmanam and Agni Brahmanam induced two Brahmanams. The only Virat Upasanam is presented, not many important mantras. In the third Brahmanam, there's an important mantra. The number is 28. 28th mantra, you can note down. 28th mantra of the third Brahmanam called Udgita Brahmanam. Now what is the mantra? Asat Oma Sadgamaya. That mantra comes there. Tamas Oma Jyotirgamaya. So this mantra, usually what do we think? We always associate this mantra with the jnanam. Whereas here, this mantra peculiarly presented as part of the japa discipline, the discipline of japaha. So asatoma mantraha, which comes as in the 28th mantra in the third Brahmanam, called Udgita Brahmanam, is presented for japaha, presented as a japa mantraha, natu jnana sambandhi mantraha, but japa mantraha. So, this mantra has to be practiced. There's repeatedly uttered by a Hiranyagarbha Upasaka. So, in the third Brahmanam called Udgita Brahmanam, where Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is discussed, where the Hiranyagarbha has to be visualized upon Prana, there this mantra is recommended for the Hiranyagarbha Upasaka. One who wants to meditate upon Hiranyagarbha is supposed to do the japam of this mantra in order to be qualified, get his benefit. It is therefore this mantra is called Abhyaroha Mantra. So Asatoma Sadgamaya, coming at the 28th mantra in the Udgita Brahmanam, is called Abhyaroha Mantra. Abhyaroha means japaha. Paunapunyena kathanam. So abhyaroha mantraha. Asatoma sadgamaya, asatoma sadgamaya, asatoma sadgamaya. You know, it's a prarthana. So abhyaroha mantraha. This is an important thing I want to say about mantra. Then, so first two Brahmanams do not have important mantras. Third Brahmanam, 28th mantra, Asatoma is meant for Japaha. Then, in the fourth Brahmanam called Purushavidha Brahmanam, there's another important, even though we have already seen certain important things, now the second mantra is an important statement. In the fourth Brahmanam, second mantra is an important statement. This We came across already in Taittiriya Upanishad also. In many Upanishads, it is an important statement. Dvaita dvai bhayam bhavati. Dvaita dvai bhayam bhavati. You can keep it. Remember, better to remember this. What is the second important mantra in the fourth second yard? Dvaita dvai bhayam bhavati. So this is also important because dvaita dvai bhayam bhavati implies as long as there is perception of duality real, so long will there be fear. There is no moksha. Therefore, abhayam, the utter fearlessness, is only in Advaita Darshanam. Because Advaita means Satyam, absolutely real. Non-duality is absolutely real. And this is a fact, timeless fact revealed in the timeless scripture called Upanishads, all the Upanishads. Therefore, this vision of non-duality being Satyam is absolutely real, is not something simply later on created or started by, established by Shankar Bhagavatpada. So this is a timeless vision revealed in timeless scripture, was only revived by Adishankar Bhagavatpada, re-established by Adishankar Bhagavatpada. It is not something his own contention or view. It's Upanishadic vision. That is also, I will hear, Dvitiyadvai Bhayam Bhavati, an important mantra. Then, in the fourth Brahmanam, so second mantra is Dvitiyad Bhayam Bhavati. The same fourth Brahmanam, we have seventh mantra, wherein the creation, the entry of Brahman, and Vidya Sutram. So, Srishtihi, the discussion on Srishti, the mantras on Srishtihi, Praveshaha, entry, and Vidya Sutram, they're all there. Seventh mantra. Then the same fourth section, fourth Brahmanam, eighth mantra. So seventh mantra is definitely important mantra. The eighth mantra reveals other beautiful fact. Vidyaranya Swami in his Panchadashi also makes it very clear. This is the basis for him to say that what is that dearest to all the people in the world? You say, there's nothing other than one's own self is dearest. One's own self is the dearest to all the people. So, Atma is the Priyatamam, Priyatamaha. Atma is the dearest to all the people. So, self-love is very natural and very instinctive. So it is not something unnatural. So being selfish, self-love and self-love for one's own self is very natural thing. Before that it is said, so love for one's son, love for one's family, love for one's wealth, love for anything else in the world is ultimately love for one's own self. If at all we talk about the love for the entire universe, in terms of universal love, that is impossible. That is possible only if one can include the world in oneself, or one can include oneself in the world. Until then, the universal love is something not possible. Then the same fourth section, the tenth mantra. So fourth section, seventh mantra, eighth mantra and tenth mantra. Seven, eight and ten. When Aham Brahmasmi Mahavakyam and also Avidya Sutram. Aham Brahmasmi Mahavakyam also comes. Then Avidya Sutram. All is said. Anyosav Anyoham Iti Yaha Veda Saha Na Veda. Aham Brahmasmi and Avidya Sutram, these both come in the fourth section as the tenth mantra. In this, then the sixth, that's all. In the sixth section, sixth Brahmanam, the world is defined here as the Nama Rupa Karmatmakam Jagat. Nama Rupa Karmatmakam Jagat. We've got enough information here. Now we have to go to the second chapter to see the negation, Apavadaha. So now we are not seeing Apavada this week. Next week we'll see the Apavadaha. But quickly, Apavada will be over very soon. One more, anything important here, I'll discuss again. See, even though Upanishad presents the Adhyaropaha differently, how the Jagat is presented here is very important. Something very differently it is presented. Srishtihi is also discussed. Unmanifest universe also is discussed. Then manifest this universe when it comes into existence, how is it? It is in the form of sadhanani, sadhyani, then kartrutvam and bhaktrutvam, all the four factors. Therefore, in universe manifest means all the four comes into the picture. Means, ends, doership and enjoyership. So then unmanifest. So all these alone form the universe, prapanchaha. And this universe, we can, fifth I mentioned earlier, the first, in the very beginning I mentioned about it. The fifth. And we don't have any important thing in the fifth. Yeah. Mantras are not there. Yeah. So this max we can say forms, names and functions. So without the truth there cannot be form. Without the form, the name will be name indicating the form will be meaningless. And the purpose served by that form also will be impossible. Your forms, names and functions which constitute the Jagat, are mithya. So Jagat is mithya. Jagat asad vilakshanam. Jagat is asad vilakshanam. Asad vyatiriktam. Asad vilakshanam. The universe is not absolutely non-existent. The universe is not absolutely really existent also because it is sad vilakshanam. So sat asad vilakshanam jagat. Sad asad vilakshanam Nama Rupa Karmatmakam. Sadasad Vilakshanam Nama Rupa Karmatmakam Jagat Mithya. What is the final sentence? Sadasad Vilakshanam Nama Rupa Karmatmakam Jagat Mithya. And this Jagat's Adhishtanam, Mithya Jagat's Adhishtanam is the Satyam, which is Atma, I, the Atma, and the Satyam, the Mithya Jagat's Adhishtanam. Therefore, there is no Jagat which exists independent of I, the Atma. Therefore, Aham, I, the Self, and the Whole, Aham Brahma Asmi. And we have to see the contents of the second chapter also. We'll see when see the Apavada mantra, the same way how we saw briefly today, the same way we also see how the whole teaching is presented in the second chapter where Apavada is presented. When we complete both first two chapters, then we will have the complete understanding. We'll continue in the next class. we'll go straight to the sections where we need to understand. So until then, at least before we go to the actual Upanishadic portion, I didn't want you to miss what is actually presented here. At least the content of each chapter you should know what it is here. Whenever Upasanas are discussed in the Upanishads, Upanishads aim, the Tatparyam is not an Upasana. Even though these three Upasanas are discussed in the first chapter, Upanishad, the Tatparyam, the aim of the Upanishad is not in making us understand the Upasanas. Ultimately, here Upanishad's aim is to what are all the things which constitute the Jagat, that Jagat is Mithya. We say it presents like this. So Upasanam is the means the end, accomplished, ultimate end is Brahma Loka. There's also, Brahma Loka is also what? It's part of Mithya Prapancha only. That's the idea. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Sat Sat Namaha Hari Om.